This episode of Real Life Sci-Fi is brought to you by Epic Reads and the new sci-fi fantasy Heart of Iron by Ashley Poston.
New York Times bestselling author Victoria Schwab says Heart of Iron delivers a delightful cast and nonstop thrills. The pages flew by and I couldn't put it down.
Don't miss this epic adventure, perfect for fans of Six of Crows and Firefly.
Pick up Heart of Iron today. Available now wherever books and audiobooks are sold.
Do you do audiobooks?
I tried, but the one that I tried to listen to was too quiet, and I was cooking.
Feral Audio.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. I'm Wade.
I'm Willie.
This is the podcast where we talk about conspiracy theories and sci-fi related topics. I'm kind of the cynic. Willie's the guy who believes all of the weird things. And we got our guest today.
Hello.
Lauren Smitelli.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
That is correct.
What are you, filmmaker? What do you want to... How do you define yourself?
I try not to define myself. That'll do. Filmmaker.
Okay.
Will do.
What's new?
Not much. I haven't seen you in a while.
Yeah, where you been?
I've been just, you know.
You go back to New York all the time, don't you?
Yeah, I go back to New York and then I have to go to a lot of festivals all over the place, so I bounce around the United States.
For your various film projects?
Yeah. That's how you promote them.
I've
never promoted anything.
What's the Colorado one? What's the Aspen one?
Aspen Shorts Fest.
Is that the one? I thought there was a bigger one.
Sundance.
Oh, that's in Utah.
Oh, wait, not Sundance. What's the fucking...
That's
what's
Utah.
The one in Vail?
Vail? I don't know about one in Vail.
Really, Aspen is just the Aspen Film Festival or whatever?
Yeah, I mean, they also have a food and wine festival,
one in Colorado?
That I think Aspen, yeah.
But
what are you thinking?
I thought we had a name brand.
There's a million mountain town festivals.
Yeah, but I figured there was a big one in Vail.
Why do they do them in mountain towns where everybody has to like not know how to drive and stuff?
I think because the appeal of going somewhere that is not LA is very nice to people in LA. You know, it's like, what are you going to choose going to? Another city like Chicago getting to like take a ski trip, you know, I think that's
what's con or can?
Can.
It's can,
I think,
really?
It's can. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's can.
What's that like? Have you been there?
I have not been there.
Do you have a passport?
Yeah. Oh, no, I don't. I lost it like 2 months ago and I've been trying to figure that out. It's going to be a situation where I have to go somewhere and I'm not going to.
Is it lost in your room?
Time. No, I lost it in New York.
Oh. That's like that's the title of your next film. I lost it in New York.
It pissed me off too because I only lost it because I was carrying it in my purse and I was like, this is very dangerous. I need to put this somewhere safe, and then couldn't figure out where that place was that I thought of.
Now it's fine to just get a new one, but you have cancellation stamps on there that you like to look at?
Yeah, are you a collector?
There's definitely like a sentimentality to it that is a bit of a bummer because I feel like I don't know.
But I've never
have
had
you
a
ever
passport.
Like looked at your
Me
passport?
Neither.
Nobody ever kind
We've
of
We've never had
goes,
one. We're both
yeah,
small town Colorado
never
guys.
Had one.
Oh my god.
Well, then I was going to get one, but you have to have your birth certificate and I think I don't know where my birth
you
certificate
have a certified
is.
That's why
copy.
I can't get a new one cuz I don't know where my birth certificate is.
Yeah, we're a mess.
Then I'd have to talk
to
my parents.
You guys are weird.
You know where your birth certificate is?
Yeah, it's in my little safe.
I mean, I think I have an idea where mine is, but I'm too lazy to check.
Well, for most of my life, that was my only ID, was that and my ID.
What about Social Security?
Because I don't have credit cards. Well, yeah, that too, but...
See, I don't know where any of that stuff is.
You don't know where your Social Security card is?
And my license is expiring next month.
How are you living here?
I'm not. I haven't even gotten my car registered. I've lived here for 5 years, unregistered.
Wait, do you still have the old plates?
Yeah.
From
New York.
From New York?
Mm-hmm.
Are they expired yet?
Probably. I don't know.
You don't even know?
Nobody checks. They're expired. Yeah.
I've looked at them. I look at everybody's plates.
Jeez, you better be careful.
And you also don't have a front plate still, right?
No, I got one, but then my roommate backed into my car and broke it a little.
So it was short-lived.
I live my life making sure everything's going to be okay. You know, that includes for my friends, too. So.
Oh, I must stress you out so fucking much.
Yeah, you sound like a mess.
It's really interesting when people meet me from like work first and then they get to know me as a human being later. They're always shocked. They're always like, oh my God, how do you work? Look like you have your life together in one aspect, and in your personal life, nothing is in control.
Well, you just compartmentalize it, right? I mean, like, work is important. Knowing where your birth certificate, you can kind of let slide.
I just don't care about a lot of those things. I don't really like to worry about things that other people tell me I'm going to need for. Like, I just,
yeah,
it's
I mean,
an
I'm
issue because
way.
I don't have a passport because of it. But it's like, I don't just.
I just got another like collection bill and I just threw it away.
Yeah.
They're not. I don't have anything to give them. all right. Today, I guess we're going to loosely talk about Is consciousness produced by the brain? Is your self-awareness, you as you see yourself, you are self-aware, is that caused by a brain? I guess. Loosely. I don't know. I mean, that's what it is, but we'll get into some cool shit.
So, okay. Usually what we do is we do kind of like a, not a litmus test, but a like a temperature check. And that's kind of a vague thing.
Oh, on your guest?
Yeah. So we ask you what you think about that, and then we talk about it, and then we ask you again.
Okay, great.
Do you think that your self-awareness is caused by your brain? Meaning
if you were brain dead, would you still exist, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you still exist. Absolutely.
So you think there's a soul?
Yes.
Really? You believe in a soul?
Yeah.
What's your religion?
I'm atheist.
But what's your religion for real?
What does that mean?
I don't know. Like, what do you think? What do you think? Is there an afterlife?
I am probably going to frustrate you both because I'm very much like I want to believe in everything, but I believe in nothing. But I'm like, I can't
say not frustrating.
I couldn't possibly speak to it if I haven't
like
experienced
where
it.
Where a lot of people are that, and I, this is me projecting, but that grew up in a church system and then stepped away from it.
I mean, I feel like that's most of our generation, at least from the middle of the country. Are you from New York?
Yeah, I'm from Long Island.
And that's like the Jersey
that's
of
like
New
the
York
Long
or
Island?
Something?
Long Island, yeah.
Isn't Manhattan pretty long?
Well, Long
is Long
Island
is, longer than Manhattan?
Yeah, in the opposite
I couldn't
way.
Even draw how New York works. I don't even know.
Dude, me neither. It's so weird.
Yeah.
There's
Long
rivers and
horizontal.
Stuff.
Yeah.
And there's like a bay or something.
There's a bay. Mm-hmm.
Like I get dizzy when I stand next to a tall building and look straight up it, which is New York.
Well, I grew up in the suburbs, so it wasn't like that. In my childhood. But I grew up in an all-Jewish town. I was the only Catholic person in my town.
Did your parents take you to the city as a vacation ever? Like, hey, let's go to the city.
Well, Sunday. It was not considered a vacation spot because everybody worked in the city.
Well, I don't mean vacation, but I mean like as
well,
like
yeah,
a tour.
We would go. Yeah, well, we would go
like,
in a lot.
My dad would take us on late night drives up through mountains.
Oh, that sounds so much better, yes.
We had a station wagon. Me and my brother sat, so we just watched everybody behind us. It was great.
Oh, one of those old ones?
It's yeah. So idyllic.
Okay, but you just said you were Catholic. So are your parents Catholic?
Yeah, they're not really practicing. My grandparents are the ones that are, you know, believe in everything that the church, like, donated half their savings to the church and
I feel
all
like
that stuff.
God, I mean, that's like everybody that I know. Like, grandparents and then parents were a little bit watered down, and then there's us. And we
did you go to Catholic school?
I went to Catholic high school. I went to a Catholic elementary school, then went to the public school in my town that was all Jewish, and then was then sent to a Catholic high school.
What was your outfit like?
Yeah, did you have a uniform in
the freshmen
school?
And sophomores had to wear a maroon blazer so you could single them out and pick on them.
That's cool.
And we would get batteries thrown at us at pep rally.
Jesus.
It was awful. We had like a really big hazing problem in our school. Yeah.
That's Catholicism, any kind of like organized religion, when applied to high school, is like the worst idea.
Oh my God! Yeah, I got into a really big fight with one of the Franciscan brothers because our school was the Friars.
Who are those guys?
Yeah, they sound cool.
They wear black robes and they...
Oh, that's not their name. Oh, God damn it. Here come the Franciscan
brothers. Yeah, John and David.
John. Fucking John is bad. David is worse.
They're all awful. One man used to run around and ring a cowbell to herd us to our classrooms 20 minutes before we actually had to be there. He was just like, freshmen need to be at class early. And he would herd with a megaphone. And then my boyfriend at the time stole his cowbell. So then he started using a megaphone and just screaming in people's faces.
Oh, bad move. Ooh. That's when hijinks backfire.
Yeah.
When did you make out with somebody your first time?
What?
When did you make out with somebody for the first time?
Oh, my
time?
God. I was so old. I was such a late bloomer. I think.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought all these religious kids were like,
yeah, me
getting
too.
Into shit.
I was a sophomore.
No, the Catholic, at least in my community, it was like everyone
but
was doing everything.
But you did drugs before I did, I'll bet. Didn't you guys get into drugs?
No. Well, people did. I didn't. I didn't get into, everybody else was hooking up with people. I was such a late bloomer on that. Everybody else was doing drugs. I didn't smoke weed until like my last month of high school.
I didn't smoke weed until I graduated college.
Okay.
So I liked the first time I smoked weed was with Blue, and he just kept asking me over and over. He's like, do you feel it? And I just kept going, yeah. He's like, no. Do you feel it? And I didn't the first time I smoked it.
Well, that's what they say, right? You don't really the first time or whatever.
Yeah. Thank God, though. My first time was in Central Park at a Strokes concert. Like, could you imagine if that was my first time being stoned just in the most public atmosphere of my life?
Well, yeah, depending on what type of stoner you are, I guess. That
well,
would be
I'm just not good in
me.
Crowds ever anyway, yeah, so yeah. It was just
no, me too.
Really dumb.
Yeah. So, okay. All right,
so most of the things I'm going to be talking about, there's this guy... oh, geez, I can't read my handwriting right now, which is weird because my handwriting is really good. Dr. Bruce Grayson,
that's like a comic book name.
I'm using a lot of his ideas on this because that wasn't even going to be the show today, and I watched this. Like, this is very compelling to me. He basically talks about how, like, can compare our brain to a cell phone, right? And I don't know
the first thing about a cell phone.
I'd rather not do that.
Yeah, well, what is that?
I guess what I mean is that like you can prove that a cell phone is that there's a signal being processed, you know, like our brain. We can prove that there's signals being processed. We can study brain cells and stuff and whatnot. But science still can't prove that those cells are also producing thought. So it's like,
I understand. So you're saying like we can see the neurons firing, but we can't prove exactly what the output is.
According to popular science right now, like one single neuron can't feel or think, but it still claims that the whole group of them can. You know that the brain, all these cells working together, the gray matter, all this stuff, we need just a lot of it to get our brain working.
Does this guy think... So this guy's pro-soul.
Yeah.
Let's just call it the soul because I don't know how else to...
Yeah, that's fine. Every time we talk about conscious soul, we're talking about consciousness.
Yeah. So he's saying that monkeys don't have a soul. This guy hates monkeys.
I don't know if he's saying that.
Wait, monkeys would have a soul, I guess.
I don't know if he's saying that. But okay, now I'm definitely not quoting him. I'm just using his subtitles, whatever. But basically, like one example he used of proof that consciousness exists without the brain is our near-death experiences.
Wait, I want to retract. Let's not call it a soul. Let's call it consciousness.
Okay.
I'm taking it back because I feel like that's a better way to think of it. Because a soul is an abstract thing, and consciousness is like every living creature, right? It's like a dog
has
consciousness.
I think it's just that if they're self-aware, like if you take
a mirror and put it up to a dog, most of them don't know it's them. Yeah, a mirror is shocking, and will they learn that it's them? Will they know that they're inside of that being? Do they think the I, or are they just reacting to survive?
Okay, so wait, this is interesting because so now we're talking about self-awareness.
To me, consciousness is self-awareness.
I don't think it is, though, if you're putting it in that context. Because a dog doesn't realize that is its reflection doesn't mean that it's not.
Yeah, because a dog will know when I enter the room because dogs love me.
Yeah, but
dogs just aren't narcissistic and haven't had to look at themselves.
But they also think that their tail is attacking them sometimes. You know what I mean? Like,
or maybe they do that for fun. We don't know. We don't get to talk to them about it.
That might just be good natured.
Well, I don't want to talk about dogs. Let's not talk about animals.
Okay, I'm sorry. I brought up animals.
Because
I
feel so weird about that. I've stared into the eyes of so many animals just being like, do you know who you are? Do you know who I am? Like,
listen,
the cat that I live with is a great cat, but...
All right. I know you don't want to talk about animals, but animals have personalities. Like, not every cat acts the same way.
Oh,
my
yeah.
cat is the best cat. And...
clearly.
If there were a competition of cat personalities, my cat would win it, because she's the best. So...
personally, that's why people don't give cats a chance, because they don't know that.
They think they're all just...
like, because when you think of a dog, it's like, oh, well, who's going to pet me next? And we're friends because you're petting me and you have food. Like, yeah, there are nice dogs, whatever. But, you know, that attention-striving animal that is just like, oh, me next, me. Oh, you're petting the other dog? And then just barges in, like, pet me too.
Yeah, dogs are... dogs are like Stephen Baldwin, and cats are like Alec Baldwin.
I don't appreciate that.
Oh, I love it.
Wait,
I hate
why
it so
not?
Much.
Oh, do you not like cats?
She doesn't like Alec Baldwin.
It's not that. No, it's not that I don't like cats. I think that dogs have just, you know, they're warmer creatures to begin with, and so.
So is Stephen.
Okay, well, I'm at the beginning of my friendship with cats phase.
Well,
we're
my,
just warming
like,
up. Also, I feel like cats, like, okay, have you ever looked into an animal's eyes and just found it to have such human eyes and it scares the shit out of you?
Yeah, well, and then also, do you ever trust
you guys,
an animal
you
less?
You guys are looking into animal eyes. I just pet them. I don't know.
You ever trust an animal less because they keep looking away and can't look you in the eyes? That sucks. I'm like, fuck you. I'm doing something here. Trying to connect to you.
Well, but there's also like a nature. You're not supposed to look in nature. When you look something in the eyes, it's like you're saying, let's fight.
Yeah, but like the cat that I live with is fine with it. Just won't even be weird about it.
Well, I'm saying like I'm a human being, so obviously we've chosen that we are the winners, and I can look you in the eye now, and let's just be friends.
But like, I know tons of people that can't look other humans in the eyes.
Oh, that's true. I don't make eye contact with humans. I really don't.
I try to make eye contact with everyone I see in my life.
Oh my God. I don't know how, like, I don't honestly
what do you
know
do
how
during
we
sex?
Became friends. That was like a big thing for me. Honestly, that was like a problem where I just like would avoid it.
I don't
so
think I've ever looked
much.
Anyone in the eyes during sex. Honestly.
Oh, I'm a huge eye contact.
Doesn't that creep you out? It creeps me out.
No,
have
that's,
you?
That's
you've never tried it. Okay.
I don't think I have. Like, I don't think about it in the moment, but like, if I'm thinking back, I'm like very passively not looking them in the eyes.
I had an experience where I was like then forced to like very intimately connect and make eye contact, and it threw me through a loop. Like I just could. It was the most intense
experience
of my life.
It wasn't exhilarating. Yeah. See,
yeah,
it sounds.
No, it was. It was great. It was great. It was terrifying to me.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Terrifying.
Totally.
And then you know it's just like and now I don't think I ever want to do it any other way. Honestly.
Oh, shit.
Big
kind of
eye contact and kissing, which is why I could never get a hooker.
Wait, eye contact and not at the same time.
No, but and a lot of kissing, too. And I'm like, well, yeah, I have issues with getting a hooker, but I would always know that I would never be happy with it because of those two things.
Why?
All right, let's move on.
No, you can have sex. Oh, so you thrive on eye contact so much that you couldn't even have a hooker?
Because they would look you in the eye. They would be the best.
Yeah,
at
I
it.
Know, but it would be false.
Fuck me. Fuck me. That's what they would be saying. They would be
it's,
saying that.
It's like, you know, I
think it would be like an antagonistic look in the
I've
eye.
Talked to so many I don't think so. When I found out they were a hooker, then it was just like, so you didn't even care what we were talking about. That's offensive to me.
Wait, in what context, though? Because aside from their job, they're also human beings who very well could have cared about what you were saying, and you're making a blanket judgment on their entire life.
Burn. That's true.
I really doubt it.
No, that's true.
What was the context? Were you hanging out in a strip club, or were you actually out in normal places being normal people together, and you just can't consider them a normal person because of their job?
I'd say that I've talked to about 10, right? And that's just me hanging out with a group of guys. A girl comes up. We start talking. And then later on down the line, it's like there's the question of would it offend you if you found out that I got paid to do this?
So they're basically approaching you to solicit you?
Yeah. It's like, oh, just listening to everything you say. You ever go to a...
But that doesn't mean they can't be entertained by you at the same time.
No, but they're out. But they're working right then trying to make that money. So it's like...
Yeah, but at the same time, isn't everybody out in life working towards something and having the conversations and soliciting? Like, I just feel like...
But they all stop...
Everybody does.
But they all stop talking to me when I told them I'm not going to pay for anything. And they just move on.
Well...
I feel like, so, you know...
Yeah, because I got to make money. That doesn't mean they... They could have thought you were, like, really charming and great, but...
I sure hope so. If you're not...
It's just like a salesman. The salesman has to chat you up a little and be interested.
I know, the only
difference is you know when
a salesman's talking to you.
Those guys.
So man. You're just mad that you felt misled.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, haven't you had experiences like that in friendship where somebody is probably... befriended you because they thought they could get something out of you, and then when they couldn't, they, you know, simmered it down a bit? How is that different?
I don't want to say yes.
What?
Because I don't want to.
Who do you hang out with?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. We live in Los Angeles. You guys have never had this experience?
No, I don't play that
game.
Everyone
we hang out with is from the Midwest.
I fucking cut those bitches off. If you're in it for some fucking monetary gain, you're first of all, you're hooking your trailer to the wrong guy. Secondly. That's manipulative and
absolutely
offensive.
Is. I'm not saying that it's not. I'm just saying it's a fact of life.
I hope you're wrong about that, because I've never. Now here's the thing. I can specifically think of people that it's like when I think about our relationship, all I can think about is them asking to borrow things. I'm like, holy shit, man! Like, let's go hang out. But I do hang out with those people too. So I can't say that I know any. I do know one person. I'm not going to bring him up, but he's got Asperger's, and it's like. He recently started a Facebook thread. It's like, hey, you guys all ready to do this shoot? And I'm like, you haven't even talked to me about this. What's going on? And now I'm just was just conscious of him listening to this episode. Whatever. And then there were these attractive women in the thread that were like, oh, what part am I? And to two of them, he was like, you're an extra. I'm like, you start this thread. Don't tell anybody about the project or what we're doing. And then you get not. It doesn't matter that they're attractive. But I'm just like. Like, you get these attractive women in the thread, too, and are just like, well, you're an extra.
I mean, that sounds like he's cornered the game. I mean, that's great. I should do that. I didn't know you could just do that. You can just start a Facebook group and say...
Not a group. This is like a thread. Like, if you send a message to a group of people...
Yeah.
And then
I hate to break it to you, but your friends are using you all the time. That is just...
I don't... But like I said, that's one out of...
I don't know. Loyalty.
1,000? Do we have 1,000 friends?
On Facebook.
Yeah, I know.
Loyalty is important to me. If you use me for something, I don't think you're my friend anymore.
I don't feel like I've been used.
I guess my point is you can't always
catch.
You can't always catch it, because sometimes people are genuinely good and want to be your friend, but also want something from you.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with it. It might be a little, you know, a little sad, but I think that that's.
Yeah, but I don't think it can be both things. You know, you can be friends. And,
I mean, yeah,
and
there's a million layers to it.
Yeah.
But.
All right, let's go.
And it all has to do with that those neurons in our brain aren't guiding us. It's our soul that's telling us to. I thought Willie would jump in.
Yeah,
oh, I'm sorry. I'm trying to read notes here.
I thought, okay, so consciousness and what was the third? We had three words.
There
was
soul, consciousness, self-awareness.
Self-awareness. I don't know, man. I We're basically talking about if there's a soul, right? That's the topic.
But what I'm saying is that this guy talks about rare cases in science that almost prove that consciousness can exist without a brain, meaning that that there is a soul.
Okay,
does that
hang
mean
on.
That like plants are conscious?
Ooh, I mean, he's just specifically talking about humans, but there's this great Mythbusters episode where somebody is in a room and it's sealed off, and they have whatever, like a lie detector or whatever, something that detects waves of like brain waves or something like that. I don't know. Connected to this plant, right? And he projects burning the plant, and when he thinks it, the plant reacts with activity, as if the plant could sense his thoughts of it hurting it. Watch it, man. It's a Mythbusters episode. It's so fucking good. To me, it was like that was... I don't want to say it was life-changing, but it's just like it makes you think that anything that's living is connected to other things that are living. And
it's exactly like Marky Mark in The Happening when he goes to that plant. And he's like, please stop killing us.
Yeah, I know. So my favorite thing is when I went to that movie in the theaters, I started cracking up on the first line because he just sounds like a joke.
Have
of
you
himself.
Heard about these bees?
So do you hear about all these bees that are dying? I'm Marky Mark.
He's a teacher, by the way.
Yeah.
Have you heard about these bees? They're dying?
It made me go right away. I'm like, oh, this is a comedy.
Yeah. Every line. That
How did
he
the
speaks,
audience react when you laughed?
I could hear people looking at each other.
I just imagine the person next to you really wanted to take it seriously and was just like so crushed when you laughed so genuinely.
I'm here for the horrifying death.
Terrible name too, but everyone's looking for the twist ending, whatever.
Who, Marky Marks is a horrible name? Yeah.
No, I'm talking about M. Night Shyamalan's.
Hey, you know what? Fuck Marky Mark. I want to fight him. I'm putting it out there. Let's fight Marky Mark.
I thought that his best role was Boogie Nights, and I'm like, man, he's really good at being bad, and then I find out he's just bad.
Dude, I think M. Night Shyamalan ruined him. I thought he was a good actor, and then he did that. But then he did Departed. Departed's good.
Yeah.
I just think... I think he must be like a secret Scientologist or something. Like, I don't understand that family. How is Donnie still relevant?
Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah, he's on Blue Bloods with fucking mustache, Magnum P.I.
Magnum's in a show?
Blue Bloods.
I don't know these shows, and I have no opinion.
I only know that because I watched Wahlburgers.
You can't watch cop shows.
What's
Wahlburgers? They're all losing their eyebrows.
They are.
What's Wahlburgers?
And fucking the Wahlburgers family. Mark is about...
What?
Wahlberg, it's a reality show. Oh, yeah. It's a reality show where there's like 12 Wahlbergs. One of them is a chef, and he has a restaurant in Boston or whatever.
Can I guess
New York,
the rest?
I don't know. Yeah, then it's just them.
They go to the restaurant once a week, and that's where the show takes place, all around the dinner table.
No, it's a reality show.
Yeah, no, that's, but yeah.
Dude, they don't, they can't, be a reality show. Fucking Marky and Donnie are way too busy to show up every episode, so they like tag team episodes. Like,
well,
Marky will
once
be
a
in
week.
One. Well, it's a weekly show.
Oh. Well.
Marky will be in an episode playing golf, and then Donnie will be in one. He's talking like, I gotta go to my Blue Bloods fitting. I can't be here eating
right.
Your burgers.
This is too much.
Yo,
we've spent way too much time on
I don't know about
Marky
your burgers.
Mark.
We got a franchise.
Can we skip?
Yeah,
can we just
I'm
skip?
Johnny.
All right.
I'm Johnny.
So
we need to move on.
Here's the first example that Bruce Grayson uses to. Now, this is just a rare case. These are just rare science cases. But the fact that they can even exist are weird. So there was this girl in 2007. I don't know her name. She was an honor student, and she was accepted into a college. And... Well, come on! What are you laughing about? I have no idea. I'm just reading my notes. Did I take bad notes?
No, she was an honor student. She was accepted into a college.
I'm just trying to set up the fact that like she it is. on the you would say that she's a normal person.
Okay.
Right?
All right.
I mean,
you did a very normal job of telling us that.
I know. God damn it. At any rate, so she got into it. She got into a car accident. Car hit her, right? And
deep turn.
They needed to do some like brain surgery on her or something. You know, so let's say her head got injured.
Brain surgery or something.
Let's just
what
say
are your notes.
I don't know the specific details. All I know is this. God damn it.
So she
got into a car accident and they needed to do they
car
was some,
hit
there
something's
was something
going
wrong
on.
They took an x-ray of her brain, of her head, and they're like, this is weird because she doesn't have a cerebral cortex according to this according
is
to
that
x-ray.
The thing that connects the brain to the spine.
You got your spinal cord, your cerebral. I don't know the specifics, but let's just say the cerebral cortex is what's responsible for thinking, according
okay.
to.
All right.
So
she doesn't have one.
So this x-ray says she doesn't have one. When they cut her head open and they look inside of her brain, she didn't have a cerebral cortex.
In its place was a little man.
And according. it was running
oh
in a
my
wheel.
God.
But according to brain science, your cerebral cortex is. What creates thought, thinking?
According to you,
thinking. Well, yeah, and I could
just
be
now
wrong, but
and maybe the internet,
something like that. Yeah.
Okay.
But there was no proof that she was an alien.
No, there will never be proof of that. There was a girl who claimed that she was an alien, and they took a DNA test of her, and the DNA test came back inconclusive. But the thing is that a DNA test will only tell you about the DNAs that we know about, the strands that we know about. It does not say anything about strands that we don't know about. At any rate. This is just one example, though, of just like, here's some rare science case where she was a normal person. That's why I said she was an honest
student. Yeah.
And that she got accepted into a college.
And she doesn't have the part
she's
of
a very normal
one.
She's supposedly responsible for thought.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then, There aren't a lot of cases. It is rare, but there are.
I would just say that's. Isn't there a lot of? Maybe I'm making this up, but like when you don't have one
if you're missing
body
something,
part,
other things.
Yeah,
step
other
up.
Things. Yeah, exactly.
Also, not to go off on a tangent, but like our education system literally wants you to be a parrot. So I feel like she could get away with. Getting into
yeah,
a
just
college
a barking dog.
Honors, I was honors classes.
Well,
were
we don't know what
hard.
The school was, and she got into a college, so you know that could be anything.
Yeah, I mean we could just slam the
At
education
any rate,
system.
Forget
all
that
day.
Stuff. She was a normal girl that was above average in her class, and she was missing the most crucial part of the brain.
See, I would like to talk to her friends. I feel like it'd be more interesting to talk to her friends to find out.
Was she hot?
I know nothing about it.
Was she an attractive
woman? If she
was woman?
Hot, then it's... Okay, keep going. But also, keep this in mind. I feel like you always bury the lead. We should get to the really interesting stuff.
My thing is this. If it's like, let's all discover this together.
Okay. I just think that most of the time, you bring up something at the very end that's the most fruitful for conversation. But by then we're always done with
okay
because
I'm always treating these in my head like an essay.
Well, that's a mistake. I mean, that's your first mistake.
All right. Well, let me I'll briefly go over some things then.
Okay. Just do like do a rapid fire. We'll chime in if we
okay,
have any
I'll,
thoughts.
I'll try to go through this quick because what I want
because I imagine you're building to something.
Yeah. That's
okay.
Just...
So do it quickly because
build.
We don't.
Well,
we should talk about
like,
what's been built as opposed to the building.
Well, we always run out of time. Like you always get to the good stuff, and then we're out of time.
All right, I'm going to bust through some of these other examples of. So he also talks about children that have past life regressions. If you look online, this is a very intriguing thing to look up. There are children who talk about their previous lives, and in some cases. They get to meet the family that they were a part of, and like in this specific case, this family accepted him as being that person.
What? They're,
yeah, fucking weird, right? But
this child has a family.
Yeah,
feels like they're part of a different family, and then goes there and and they accept
most of these
that
truth. Now, in the West, in Western,
no, it's like this. It's like this. It's like, hey Timmy, why do you always draw, you know, cars? And he's like, oh, because in my past life I was an auto mechanic. And they're like, Timmy, come on. He's like, no, yeah, my name was Frank, and I was an auto mechanic, and my name was my last name was Johansson. And then they go, Timmy, all right, let's look up the Johansson family. And then they find the Johansson family, and they're like, did you have a Frank Johansson who was a auto mechanic? And they're like, yeah. And then they meet Timmy, and he's like,
and he whispers,
remember that
I
day?
Hate my parents. Please save me.
Please take me away from this family. They won't stop badgering me about these truck drawings. No, but it's like that, yeah, right? Yeah. And then the Johanssons are like, this guy knows all about us. So he must be Grandpa Frank.
Yep.
Oh, that is so incredible.
Oh, yeah. It's great. It's fun to watch. So,
well, how do you get to watch it? What do you mean?
Everything's on YouTube.
Oh, my God.
Just look up Past Life.
I watched you in the shower this morning.
I don't need these rabbit holes. That's funny because I don't shower, so I know.
So one quick example. This girl's name, her name was Mandy Seabrook. She, her family had a daughter. That daughter passed away very early, and then they had another daughter, and this was her.
This is where it gets.
They named her Mandy. Also,
real,
right?
What? Really?
Yeah.
That's a shitty thing to do.
It really is. It really is.
Mandy Part Two.
Yep.
At least they're being honest.
When she was 2 and a half, she was crying one day, and her mom was like, why are you crying? And she's like, oh, because I died. And then this sparked all these questions, you know, and then they were driving. Now, the second Mandy had never been to this place. They were going 100 miles outside of town, and she goes, hey, look, that's where I'm buried. And they're like,
fuck
what?
Off. Really?
How do you know that? And then they're like,
nobody
well,
ever told her?
Yeah, she didn't know she had
how
a sister.
How old was this?
This girl was 2 and a half.
What?
And then so they're like, well, maybe this could be a fluke thing. Let's walk her into the cemetery from a different direction, so she might not know that it's the same even cemetery.
Maybe she's mentally unstable. At best case, she's bipolar.
But then they're like, okay, well, where? I don't know how they asked this. You know, I'm not good at telling this part of it. But they're like, okay, well, were you buried here? If you were, like, where? And she took him straight to the spot where she was buried.
She just started digging.
Took him straight to the spot where she was buried. And I was like, oh, shit. And then so she claimed that she was the reincarnation of the first child that they had. And then there were other weird things. Like, she asked her mom one time, she's like, why did you bury me with a ball? And she's like, we didn't. Like, shut up. I mean, she didn't say shut up.
Shut up. Just stop it. Just stop it with this.
Shut up, my replacement daughter that actually happened to be the actual daughter.
Get over it. We named you Mandy Part Two. Just
and then
shut up.
So the mom was talking to her sister about it that one time, and she, about her saying that. And she was like, oh, well, that's weird because my daughter put a ball into her casket so that she could be buried with it. So her mom didn't even know about that.
We are very relaxed on supervising our children. We take them to funerals. They put balls in caskets.
Well, they talked to. She talked to. She told her mom about it. At any rate,
this sounds like
when
an
she was when, most of these most of these cases, when they get a little bit older, like when she was 7, she forgot all about it. Didn't know anything about her past life. Blah blah blah.
Hmm.
And then so they take their kid and hypnotize her, and then she remembers everything.
Okay, well, can I bring something up? Because I feel like when you are dealing with the death of a young child, and then you literally go name your next child that same name, and you're being very blatant about how this is to fill that void, I feel like the power of suggestion probably comes in very heavily.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, because my
this
thing is like...
This is an urban legend. There's no way there's a family who went, Mandy's dead, but we got a new one. Let's just name her Mandy.
But let's say you named her after your grandma and then it didn't work out. It's like, I still want to name my first daughter after grandma.
I'll name the dog after grandma at that point.
At any rate, here's one. There's tons of these cases online. You can watch them, see what you think. This other case is really great. This guy's name was, this kid was James Leninger, something like that. He kept drawing these planes that were attacking each other or whatever. And then they're like,
I've done that.
Yeah. And their parents are like, ah, whatever. I mean, it's kind of violent, but whatever. So he's having a nightmare one night. They walk in on him and it's like, what's wrong? And it's like, the small man in the plane is trapped and he can't get out and he's going to die. And they're like, who is the small man? And
Goose.
And then the kid goes, it was me. So he's talking about this dream that he had where he was trapped in a plane and he was on fire.
Sounds like Top Gun. Goose. Yeah.
No, he got out.
No, he just died.
Broke his neck on the glass.
I guess.
At any rate, so his past life, he started thinking or knowing about it, and his parents kept asking him questions about it. He talked about this U.S. carrier that he worked on.
Pilot kid?
Yeah, yeah. I can't even read my writing.
Did he say what model of plane it was?
But he specifically said his mom got him a plane when he was a kid, and she was like, look, these are the bombs. And the kid was like, no, these aren't bombs. This is whatever else it was.
You dumb bitch.
Because he knew about the plane.
Fuck you, mom. these are missiles.
His dad was a cop, and his dad was like trying to just like squash it to be like, hey, look, you're wrong. This didn't exist. You weren't this guy. Come to find out that this carrier that he claimed that he was on did exist, and that there was one guy that died at the Battle of Iwo Jima, that there was one guy off the carrier that died in a plane.
Uh-huh.
So his dad took him to this, like, I don't know if it was a reunion for the people on the carrier or whatever, but this kid is recognizing everybody there by their name. And watch it on YouTube, man. It's great. And
there's also that 3-year-old from America's Funniest Home Videos who can name the presidents.
Yeah, that's just memory.
Exactly. His dad, you know, let's make a buck, June.
Hey, this kid actually released a book too. It was called Soul Survivor.
He wants money.
Soul Survivor.
It's all.
I guess it's
all about the.
Anyways,
big green. Is that a term for money? Big green.
It should be.
Yeah.
Get that big green.
Gotta
I like
get that,
that
big green.
Show me the big green.
At any rate, whatever. There are tons. I don't need to go on with this story because maybe I don't remember the specifics of the ending, but it doesn't matter. There's a lot of stories of child regression, right?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And so what he says is this. If there is a reincarnation happening of some sort, then that consciousness wasn't created by the new brain. Because it was created from the old brain. So does it exist without a brain? Did his consciousness go from one body to another?
Well, I wonder if there's a theory about like DNA and like storing memory in your DNA or something and passing that down.
You know what? I love that you said that because some people think that the clues to us actually learning about us are locked in our DNA and that like... there is information stored in there. Like, for example, I know that we ended the last episode with me saying I don't believe in evolution, but like, we have less chromosomes than the ape that we evolved from. Like, the evolution doesn't work that way. You lose 2 chromosomes and then you become smarter, you know? So, like, I think the secrets of what we are in our DNA.
I mean, I feel like that would be... I would love to believe in reincarnation because there's nothing more terrifying than dying and ceasing to exist, which is what I believe. So it'd be great if you could get reincarnated. But it seems to me like the easier theory would be like that there's like, you know, just memory implants or whatever that are passed down.
Yeah, because I can see that too, that like that somebody's consciousness was so strong that like you basically get the equivalent of an echo or that their consciousness was reverberating out and then you caught a piece of that and you accepted that as your own, but it's not actually yours.
Yeah, my cousin had a child who acts exactly like our grandmother. She's like 3, but she acts exactly like our grandmother already. And it's like, yeah, I don't know. I feel like it has to be a DNA thing because I don't think specifically
like you know using the N-word and
yeah, she calls everybody a nigger just constantly. She hates the Asians.
She wants to sell
gum for a penny, which is ridiculous. It's at least a quarter in this day and age. But no, yeah, it's weird. I think it's a DNA thing. I think it's I think most of these kids are I don't know. Am I
All right, well, okay. I have a was hesitant to share this because it is kind of I find it to be like an unexplainable thing that happened in my life, and I feel very sensitive to it because I think it has actually changed the course of my life. And I will tell you if you want to like nitpick it and kind of like figure out maybe what's going on here.
Okay, yeah. You're gonna get nitpicked. You're gonna get very personal.
Two different
let's, picks.
Let's go for it.
All right,
let's go for it. Okay, so at this point, maybe this was I don't know, like 5 years ago, 6 years ago, and I had my first lucid dream, which actually my only lucid dream. I've never had one since then.
That's cool.
Were you good at it?
Oh, I think so.
All right,
awesome. Like it took me a while to figure out. There was like a lot of stuff that happened early on in this dream, and then when I realized I had control, the first thing I did was like, I gotta fly, and like that was super fun. And I honestly feel like I know what it would feel like if humans could fly.
Who's
like,
the hottest dude that you fucked later?
Yeah, did you take control
weird.
That hard?
No. Well, here, it gets weird because your subconscious, no matter what, always interferes.
Questions yourself. And it's like,
Yeah. So I get down to this this door, and I don't feel like going in. It seems like a danger zone. So I was like, no, thanks. I'm gonna peace. And I started walking away, and then like this little note that had wings on the end of it kept getting in my face and like would not let me leave. Basically, it would just get in my face to the point where I couldn't ignore it, and it said do 2 jumping jacks or spin around 3 times. And I was like, no thank you, like I'm good. And it wouldn't leave, so I was like, fine,
I'm in charge of me.
Yeah, but I wasn't. So I did the fucking spinning around thing, so it would leave me alone. And then the door opens. And at that point, I'm intrigued. And it's like, of course, that's all you have to do is like draw me into the point where I can't, even if I don't want to, I'm curious. So I walked into this corridor, and it had all of these doors on the end that never opened. And in the middle was this like a pink elephant emerged and like blew up in from the floorboards. And I was like, that seems a little too, like, I'm pretty sure we could bring this to any sort of dream book, and this is very symbolic. Like,
yeah, sure.
Get out of here, idiot. Yeah. And it deflated right then and there. And so then I walked to the end, and there was a big bowl of candy at the end, and I was like, ugh. You know, I want this, but like I'm gonna be traveling for a while, so it seems like I can't really attach myself to all this candy. I'm not looking for baggage right now.
Do you eat candy in real life?
No, never. I'm not a sweets person at all. But I was like, no, thank you. Like, happy to have it. I debated it for a bit, but like, I just don't want to.
You were thinking
I
your
don't
brain.
Wanna,
thank you, brain. I don't, but you know we don't want this.
we don't want to be carrying this around. So then I walk outside, and it's an alleyway where all these people with guns are about to shoot me.
Cool.
And then I remember I could fly. And I was like, ha, see you later, motherfuckers. And I start flying off. And then I...
Wait, were they shooting at you as you were flying away?
Yeah, I was doing the Z. I was doing the zigzag through the sky. And I was like, shit, I gotta walk my dog. I have to get home and walk my dog.
Wait, you're lucid at this point, and you're like,
but
I gotta walk my dog.
It's like, you don't always have full...
This was my first
lucid dream, so I can't speak to have know any knowledge on this. But what I was dealing with was like being able to make decisions and being aware that I was in a dream, but also having some things come up naturally in my subconscious that then I was confronted with not being able to
ignore. Okay, so you gotta go walk your dog.
So I gotta go walk my dog. And I'm flying through the sky. So much fun. So much fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess, little caveat, like, I've never had a dream about any celebrity in my life. Like, I'm not somebody who really thinks celebrities are more special than other people. And I don't waste my time consciously thinking about them.
Yeah, fuck celebrities.
And I, on my fly home, I bump into James Franco, who is perched on the top of a building, just like floating and waiting for me, like specifically waiting for me. And I stopped begrudgingly because I'm like, I got to get home. And he was just like,
Do you like James Franco?
No.
Not at all?
I had no opinion on him.
I love him.
Okay.
I literally had
You're neutral on James.
Yeah.
On the Frank.
Yeah. And he was
I like him too.
You do?
Yeah, okay. I like it. Sure. Right.
So I guess like I knew I had to stop, so I stopped and I was like, what do you want? I need to go. Like it was funny even in that sense to be like yes,
what do you want, James?
James.
What do you need from me right now?
Dog.
I'm really busy.
Home.
Yeah, and he goes, I thought you wanted to do more than this. I was like, whoa,
shit!
Like now you're getting really
welcome to your
intense.
Life.
Yeah, and I was like, yeah, I do. I do want to do that, and I'm probably getting to that. But right now, I need to walk my dog. And he goes, no, there's always going to be excuses. But like, I really thought that you wanted to do something important with your life.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Franco laying it down.
Laying it down. And it was weird and intense. And I was like, yeah, I hear you. I'll take that into account, but I am going to go home and walk my dog. So sorry, this story is getting way too long. I'll speed it up. I end up not thinking about that again for like 4 years. Never once came into, like, I was like, cool, I flew in a dream, you know, like that was the only takeaway.
You fucked Franco. No. Before you left, you fucked Franco.
Please.
Okay.
But I ended up on working on one of his films like years later. And I was basically, I don't know, I was
which film? Don't tease us.
Bukowski. I don't think it's come out.
Oh, okay.
But I think it was one of maybe those like things that.
Yeah, I think it's come out this year, right?
Oh, is it? I don't know.
Wait, is it a biopic?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So anyways, I'm on set talking to this grip who just is like all into out of body experiences.
Nice.
And all of this shit. And while talking to him, it snaps into my head like, oh my God, I had a lucid dream once and and James was in it. And like, why am I remembering this now out of nowhere? And he was like, well, what happened in the dream? And then I started connecting it all. And what I took away from it was that I was super unhappy dealing with working for other people. And here I was like on a film set, like still bitching about the fact that I was there. And he was basically telling me like, you need to stop and take control of your life and do what you want to do. And to realize that I remembered that on that set where I was having such a miserable time. And this dude was like, where were you when you had that dream? And I was like, I was in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. And he was like, that's ancient burial ground, man. That's like an Indian burial ground. So
you can't lose a dream anywhere else.
So I got really into it. And I was just like, oh, my God, you're right. And that bag of candy is like all my hopes and dreams as a filmmaker. And I just didn't want to take it because I couldn't handle the pressure. And then James was like, no, stop it. Get out of here.
Did you get to ask him about it?
I quit the film. I never have quit anything in my life, and I walked off the film halfway through, and then I just started working on the things that I cared about, and like everything else.
Maybe that was you connecting to yourself in the future, and then deciding in that moment that like maybe James Franco was in it because like he's a part of this movie, and you should want to hang out with him, quote unquote, and you should want to finish this movie because he's in it. Blah blah blah. You know, like you. You tell yourself these things like, well, it's going to be a good movie, so I'll push through all the bullshit. And like maybe that was symbolic of him being like, you know, like, don't you want to fucking do something else? Like,
yeah, and
not
that's
him
what
being
the,
like, come hang out with me, but just like.
That's what the dude who really believes in all this stuff said. He was like, I believe that you really did have that experience, and just time works different in our subconscious. And so this might have happened to you 4 years ago, but it was like to teach you that this right now is like a big moment for you. And I don't know, he may have convinced me to quit my job for no reason.
I don't think
he's just gunning for your job. If I can get this bitch to leave, I can fucking move up.
Like, I don't think time. We're definitely not right about time and the way time works and what we think time is.
I don't think so. Yeah,
and time is just a added stress of what needs to happen in a certain amount of time. Whatever. Blah blah blah. But I don't know. I like because I've had a bunch of lucid dreams.
You've had a ton. That's so incredible to me.
I stop myself from dreaming because ultimately I hate sleeping because I'm not myself when I'm sleeping, when I'm dreaming, and I'm not, you know, like, because I know all the clues, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
Whenever I start
a
lucid dream.
That's fucking crazy, man. I mean, you're crazy for doing that.
I know it pisses me off. I get mad when I wake up. But, like, one of the clues is, like, if you are looking at a watch, try to look at the time because you can't read the time or numbers or if you piece of paper, like, you can't
read
it.
Which is why I think that, like, not us not understanding time really is a serious thing that is real. Because if you can't see the time. Yeah, it's
just gotta. But, like, for me, I'm always in a dream and I look at my watch, right? And when I do that, I say, I don't wear a watch. I'm dreaming.
Yeah, that's like one of the big, that's like how you get to lucid dream.
Yeah,
like that's like one of the things.
And then I always say this, oh, really? I'm just dreaming? Well, wake up then because you have stuff to do. And then I wake myself up.
Oh, that's the worst.
And then I wake up going like, why did I do that? I would love to be in that dream right now. What,
yeah.
Am I going to get up and run some errands?
That's awful.
Let's get back to it, though. Like, what's this soul stuff all about?
Well, okay, like, in these examples, there are some near-death experiences where, like, these are rare cases. I don't have them memorized, whatever. I'm just going to loosely try to talk about them real quick because I want to get to some other stuff. So, like there are people that have... Let's say there's people that are brain dead, right?
Mm-hmm.
There are cases where right before they die, they kind of are not brain dead anymore, and they kind of get their consciousness. It's very rare. Like, there was this guy who had brain damage his whole life, and then, like, on his deathbed, his wife was with him, and all of a sudden he became a normal person. I mean, you know, I don't mean his whole life, but he had brain damage, and then, like, he got the brain damage after he was married, whatever, on his deathbed. He became a normal person and started talking with his wife, and then he passed away. It was just like there was no reason for his brain to just work after all these years of brain damage that was actually going to kill him. That's a bad example, but I guess what I'm saying is there are weird cases where people will get full consciousness right before they die, even though there's no scientific reason why their brain should just start working out of the blue. And so, like I personally think that the DMT that's released in your brain right before you die is when your body knows it's going to die, DMT is released, and I think that hallucinogenic drug that your brain creates readies your soul to go back into the spiritual realm.
Mm-hmm.
And what he was saying though is that, like, there are certain situations where someone's consciousness came back, and as according to brain science, it shouldn't have, and it was right before they died, whatever. Or people that have died and were clinically proven dead, and when they come back, they talk about things that, like, basically proved that they were thinking while their brain was dead. There was a specific case of this kid who died, and when he came back, he was talking to his parents and was like, yeah, it was weird. My sister was there, and she said that I couldn't go past. There's always this threshold of, like, if you go past this point, you can't go back into your body. And there's usually somebody there greeting them, being like, you know, it's not your time. Like, go back. So this kid dies. In the afterlife, he is about to go through this threshold, and his sister's there, and she says, oh, it's not your time. Like, go back. He comes back, talks to his dad, and his dad's really pissed off because he's like, this is bullshit. Your sister's not dead. Turns out she died that night, and the school was trying to call him, but they couldn't get a hold of him. She died that night in a car accident. So, like, the kid didn't know that his sister had, none of his family knew that she was dead. But while he was clinically dead, his sister was there, and so he knew she was dead. I don't know.
What
that's
a
just
coincidence that they would both die separately.
Yeah, fuck
at the
that
same
family.
Time.
That's like, they must have been a shitty family.
Yeah, that's like if, you know, if your mom's.
Don't blame the family.
If your mom's.
No, I'm saying.
Yeah,
like,
if
you
your
know,
mom's dad is going bald, then you're going to go bald. It's just like that.
It's like that. I just, you know, it's like karma or whatever. Like, fuck these parents. These guys suck. Let's put one of their kids in the hospital and the other one will kill, you know. Settle thing.
Sorry, that's just a pile of random toys on that shelf that I can't organize because there's too many. But
listen, I mean, this. Oh God,
I'm not even gonna get into the other stuff, right? Because it's too much.
It's great. I would love for this stuff to be true. I can't believe it. I would love it though. I would love it. If you could die and still be alive, that'd be like the best thing in the world.
Most of these yeah, stories.
How many people would you spy on in the shower? Like that would be my first thing.
That's your go to, huh? That's your thing.
Yeah, just watching people stuff. Fuck. Just watching people fuck. That's all I want to do.
You just get a
I
mind
think
bar.
When you die. They,
have
they
you
walk...
only had sex in a shower? Why?
Well, no, in addition to. Oh,
okay.
When they, I think, here's my theory on the afterlife. You die, and then this guy comes to you, and he's like.
What does he look like?
The guy's not important. It could be a woman. It could be whatever. It could be a voice.
Is your soul individually coming up with what this person
You're
looks like?
You're walking around in clouds.
Uh-huh.
And there's a television screen, and they say, whatever you want, just fucking whatever you want, buddy. And then you can go like, oh, I want to see the first time Michael Jackson had sex. And you just say that. And then it's Michael Jackson, you know, getting fucked by his dad or whatever. I mean, whatever that situation is. And
oh
then you could
God.
Just do that. You
so
could just
your
and then you spend the
just
rest
voyeurism.
Of No, yeah, exactly. You spend the rest of eternity just going like, "Oh, I wonder when George
you
Burns had his first
zapped.
Piece of pie."
But my favorite thing is you don't even want to be zapped into like the area where it happened. You're
no,
just like,
no,
"I'll watch
no,
it on
listen,
TV.
Listen,
I'm
listen.
Fine to just take
no,
it
no,
as
no.
a reality series."
No. I think this is like kind of the waiting room. So you know, you kill a bunch of time, you're just like, "What's Matt Damon really like when no one else is around?" And then it shows
is that like a highlight
like,
reel?
Yeah, it's just him like
who was the first nerdy caveman?
Yeah, man. Like everything. Whatever you want. And then eventually they're like, okay, fuck it, go back. And then you're
we're done with you.
And then you're born in Africa and you starve to death in 3 years and then you get to do it again.
So that's what you think.
I don't know. That's kind of what I hope. I think that'd be great.
It's weird to me because
if that's your hope, that's even worse.
What would you want?
I honestly want
fucking,
to just...
Oh, my loved ones and my friends are there.
No, I want to just... I just
Grandma!
Want it to be nothing. I just want it to be nothing.
What? Nothing?
Yeah.
You want that?
I'm not afraid of that. No, I think it makes...
How the fuck are you
because
not afraid
it
of that?
Makes
well, it makes
life on Earth
what,
so much
it
better.
It makes you do things that you...
Yeah, it's
it
just,
makes you live life more full. I agree with that.
Kind of, but like I don't know. There's not a lot of religious people who are just like meh.
But I
got
also,
the afterlife.
I also don't make decisions
Actually,
being like, well,
are.
I don't want to mess up my afterlife.
Yeah. Do you know half the reason
well,
people
yeah.
are good people is because they're afraid of going to hell? That, like
but,
that's
but,
insane
but,
to me.
No,
I don't
no,
think
no,
that's
I,
true.
I don't think that's true either.
Yeah,
I think
it
that,
is.
I think
it's an innate. I think it's
absolutely.
An innate thing. Like if I punch you, I immediately feel bad about it. It has nothing to do with Jesus.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying.
What
I
are
think
your
that,
religious backgrounds?
I'm non-denominational Christian.
Christian Baptist, but not Southern Baptist, just like a very normal Baptist. But they take a very literal translation of the Bible. So Jonah was swallowed by a big fish, definitely not a whale.
Oh,
though they didn't have the classification system back then of fucking whales.
I'm just very shocked that neither of you would agree that there are a good portion of society that are only good because of the fear of hell.
Well, no, here's the thing. I guess... The way that I would agree with you would be of them avoiding bad, but not
yeah.
specifically doing things
no,
that are
yeah,
good.
They're not, yeah.
Because when you do something good, you feel good about it, and it's just like, you know, that's why Twitter and Tumblr exist, you know?
I don't know,
like,
I mean, I
look
think
what
I, would,
I did!
I think I would blame...
I helped somebody today!
I think I would blame religion on more bad than good. Like, I don't think it's innate to want to murder somebody. I think those rules are written because 100 years ago, somebody... 100 years ago.
A fucking, mere 100 years ago.
A million years ago. What the fuck?
After America was created, but before fireworks.
Abraham no. Lincoln's grandchild killed somebody and he felt bad about it. No. I just think, I think somebody did something wrong and they were like, oh, fuck, that feels
bad. Like, we shouldn't do that. We should stop people from doing that. We should punish people who do that. Let's put them in a cage. And if they do that, then they can't do it again. And then I think religion kind of came out of that. And they're like, oh, these are the bad things. Like, don't take that because that's not yours.
Yeah, but you also just said that religion also causes so much bad.
Oh, well, I'm talking about like the extremists. The if you don't believe our religion, we're gonna, you know,
this
fuck you up.
This is what I'm not gonna get into right now, but this is what I wanted to get into. I'll just briefly go over it. That, like, I mean, ultimately, most religions incorporate astrology into their religions. It's like, pretty much only Christianity is the only one that doesn't. But the Old Testament still did, you know, like, just the cycle of the universe, the cycles of,
yeah, because that's the only thing.
And they take these things. And so, like, for example, the Hindus, this should be a whole other episode, and maybe it'll be another episode, but like, the Hindus had this yuga cycle, right? Which was like,
it's like a bicycle.
A 24,000 year cycle of life that included, you know, golden age, silver age, bronze age, iron age. They had different names for it. But anyways, basically, though, like, this is great because I love looking at this stuff because I'm like, when I think of my life and I think of the anxiety that I have, and like, you're right to say that, yes, I get mad at traffic, yes, but anger is just a result of fear. And if you can lose the fear in your life and just bring back love, like, that is what the universe should be. And fear is the only – fear is anger. Fear causes all of this shit. When all of my stresses come from, I can't be late. I've got this to do. Anxiety-ridden life of, oh, I've got to work 8 hours, and I got to go to sleep. And then, oh, ISIS, oh, shit. You know, this is why – I mean, like – this is why a lot of people think ISIS is manufactured by the United States. It's just like they want us to live in a fear-ridden society that you were so afraid of everything. All of our emotional problems all stem from fear that we can't connect to ourselves. All these drugs are illegal because, yes, they can kill people, but most people haven't died on these drugs that are illegal. You know,
I don't
want to get into drugs, but I guess what I'm saying is like there are ways.
Well, I wonder about that. Like, does the government really have to? I think we have enough self-imposed fear. The government really doesn't have to.
But it's not
spring
the
ISIS
government.
On us.
It's not the government. It's a smaller.
Well, I mean, that's
group.
What you just said. All I'm saying is, I wonder if like tribal people are happier because they're just like, what are we going to eat today? We got to fucking eat something. And that's their only thing. They're like, we just have to eat.
Yeah, I made the just ridiculous mistake of going to Tanzania when I was 20 to film a documentary by myself. Didn't work out. But the big takeaway from that was like, these people have nothing and they're so happy.
They're the
happiest group of people I've ever been around, and I had such culture shock when I came home.
But also, they were probably just happy because you were there, and then when you left, they're like, fucking Nagara is still using my tent. And
it's like when you see a family with a foreign exchange, she was like, oh, hide all the trash.
No, I mean, I think like you...
maybe they are happier.
I do believe that on a level... that's very deep. That
I do too.
If
it's all
we had to care about was
stress,
fucking hunting and gathering and eating and
but
pooping.
Everyone
and
is
fucking,
buying stuff on credit. They're buying a car that they can't afford.
Yeah,
on stuff
it's
that's
ridiculous.
Just saying like, well, you have to work now.
It's
you have
ridiculous.
To work. Our whole lives are built around. Now I'm specifically talking about the United States, but or you know
the Western world.
Yeah. But we only deal in stress. Everything is
but it's
not on purpose,
like,
not
but
on
it's
purpose.
Kinda,
but it's not that they, it's not
but
that
we weren't meant to live in 24-hour stress.
Maybe we were because like why else do we have video games and like would you do you want to go be bored with the tribesmen who are happy to see a white chick show up?
Entertainment
or,
technology
or do you
want to
like
is,
be stressed about paying rent so that you can like kill guys online?
In entertainment
technology is like a false happiness.
I don't think so. I don't know. I think that like
I think it's a totally necessary happiness. I think that this is all meaningless. And we might as well.
If we didn't have jobs, we could drink every day, all day long, and just fucking.
I've done that, and it gets very boring.
No, I know. I don't even mean drinking. I'm just saying, though, that, like, you could. Like, my mom goes back to the Philippines every now and then. Whenever I watch the videos of her and her family.
But that's what.
They have fun, and it.
That's all I'm saying, though. This is nothing. None of this means anything. And so we build these houses and we create electronics, and it doesn't mean anything because we're gonna die.
But this is specifically
that
just
thing that you said
fun,
to the
though.
Girl the other day that you regret doesn't matter because in like 30 years you're gonna die.
But the thing is, when you can feel like actual love for people, you don't have to have fun.
No, but that is fun. That's part of it. Like, that's another thing. Like, that's
yeah, but
fun.
I would argue, like, what you said to that girl that you regret, like, that does matter more so than any of the stress that you feel to get the video games that you love so much. It's like, what are we here for?
It's
nothing.
It's something that you're not going to regret.
Human connection. Like, I feel like...
I don't know. Maybe. I mean,
whatever
floats your boat. Like, I would much rather just, like, sit at home and play a video game than, like, take my chances talking to a girl who's going to reject me.
See, I'd rather make the video
game. I wish you felt the love of a young African.
Oh, I don't feel love. That's the problem. I can't love. That's maybe that's why I'm saying video games are so important. Because, no.
And if that's your thing, then this world is great for you.
Oh, I'm totally happy. Yeah.
That's why my heart was broken when I lost my Skyrim character. I can never go back to that.
I just. Lost. So, I don't know. This doesn't
abruptly.
Have anything to do with the soul, really, but. Well, it kind of does. I just don't think that. Fuck. I mean, so the hypothesis that we're sort of working under is that our brain doesn't make us who we are.
That our brain is like a cell phone that is receiving the signal of your soul.
Okay. Oh, that's what you were saying.
Yeah. That it's like your soul, your consciousness exists without your physical body.
But your body is using
your body have a human experience.
Yeah, but then those people who are like abused at a young age or whatever, and it alters them for their entire life.
This is the weird thing about that, though. Like, okay, like this kid, this is what makes me feel good about. And I hate this because I'm like, yeah, I'm just making things fit so if it's convenient for me to feel good about. But this kid was like that kid that I was talking about that was like a war pilot. Like, his dad was like, I love you or whatever, something like that. You know, I love having you as a kid or whatever. And the kid was like, that's why I chose you. And there are people that talk about the fact that if we are spiritual beings, why are we having a human experience? Why wouldn't we hold on to our previous experiences if they don't help us? So the thing is that, like, we choose a life, a possibility of a life. We know some things that might happen. There's a lot of what ifs. But we choose that for spiritual gain. So it's like, I chose this life that was filled with suffering that nobody wants because I want to feel this suffering so that I can grow spiritually.
So this is... So you're saying you die and you wake up and you take off like a virtual reality headset and you go, woo! Man, that was crazy. Let's go back to our spiritual lives.
But
right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like a Rick and Morty joke that we're doing.
Yeah. But you're not going to grow spiritually with everybody around you in that spiritual realm. The way that you're going to grow is by choosing to experience a life that is like, you know, its own story.
I mean, that's
own...
so fucking optimistic that it's retarded to argue against because it's like, that's such a great...
I know, and the only proof is great idea. You know,
yeah.
Like it feels good.
I mean, that would be great. Any of these things would be great. I guess yours is the only one, and I believe it also, the only one I don't like is the one where we don't exist anymore.
Me neither. But the thing is that, like, think about, because, like, a lot of religions, I'm not saying go religious, I'm saying, take away the money from their religion and then... Look at even like the stories
know.
That
yeah.
these civilizations are trying to tell
it's just
that
such
relate
a comfort
to
blanket though. It's just like a don't worry. You're gonna
but,
die.
And
don't worry.
But the other side of all of this is why would anybody be right?
Yeah.
You're gonna die, but don't worry.
Why would anybody in the physical realm be right about the spiritual realm?
No, we wouldn't. But that's why I think that's why it's wrong, because we create these things in order to comfort ourselves in the event that we do die. you know?
Yeah.
Think of how much from your own life that has been painful and you've tried to forget it. And sometimes you can forget it. So it's like, my question is, what is, how do you say, oh, this was a very painful experience I had in my past life? Because I feel like it's human nature to shut down those experiences and block them.
I'm going to throw this at you real quick because we're out of time. But there a lot of these people, all these kids that have these past life regressions, a lot of them have birthmarks or physical defects that are related to their past life. There's these weird stories of like there's this girl that was born without some of her fingers were missing, right? And supposedly she was, her past life was, she was a boy, and this gang was like going to cut his head off with a sword. And right before he died, he threw his hands up and his fingers got caught off. So the life of the person that she said that she was before, she in her new life has defects related to the old life.
Sure,
which is just weird. Which is just weird.
Well, it's weird, or it's an undocumented person, and she told people that.
No, but here's the thing. Let's say that she did have that experience, and then they did find that person, because this does happen. You know?
Let's say that.
It's not gonna make the history books, because nobody gives a shit in a way, because it doesn't fit in our science. It doesn't fit in our model of world. Because even though we say separation of church and state, we are just Christian. United States is just Christian.
Well, it's Judeo-Christian.
There's a lot of other religions in there. Yeah, exactly. But
yeah, but you know,
things that don't fit within
do?
That,
I mean,
you're not. It's just like
I was just thinking in those terms. It's just so easy to say. I mean, because those all happen kind of through hypnosis, right? Like you get hypnotized, and then that's how get asked questions.
Not
and
at
that's
all.
What
a lot of them are just happen like.
You just get a flash of what...
Well, like one thing you can ask... Don't ask your kid this unless you're ready to take this on, but one thing you ask a young child is, do you remember when you were a grown-up? Do you remember when you were big? Just to see if they have an answer.
Well, yeah, but when I was in the third grade, I used
like,
to...
I
yeah,
came
exactly.
up with an amazing response exactly.
I think
to that.
But hypnosis, though... I mean,
it's proven...
My sister is 8 years old. She thinks that she's Barack Obama. Like, she's seriously, like, I am the president.
Well, they say, like, 5 to 8 is when they lose all their past
regression.
But I'm just
saying, like, that's an example of, like, okay, so if she hadn't said Barack Obama, if she had said, like, I am this random person and my birthmark matches the story, then you'd be like, oh, my God, yes, listen to her.
Nobody listens to anything until they, because, like, even that famous case, the James Lineger, whatever, it was his dad just wanting to prove it wrong to squash it, and then they found the evidence for it. It wasn't like this kid was constantly talking about planes and shit. You know, he drew planes. It was just a part of, he connected to them. I guess what I'm saying is a lot of these cases are
coincidences that end up working out. I think there's probably 5 billion dead ends that have also happened.
I think that we're not supposed to get the information from our past life. And that when that does happen, I mean, just watch them online and see what you think. You know what I mean? The stories of them, because if you have a kid and your kid's talking about some previous life, you're either going to get scared, make fun of them, or not listen to it at all. You know what I mean? It's just like, oh, you're just a kid. Fucking shut up. Blah, 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 blah. 9 times out of 10, you're not even going to listen to his story. And a few times when they did, they actually do connect to previous.
Okay.
Lives.
So I know we don't have any more time, but it's like, then why do they forget at some certain point in their life?
Because it's not crucial for you to know your past life to experience this life. We don't know what the purpose of this life or this soul or this existence is, but it definitely doesn't. It doesn't as of me, doesn't need to have anything to do with that because I,
yeah, but like, what a cruel joke that then only
but
people would remember things
at ages
where nobody takes you seriously,
but
and
in,
then all
in
of a sudden
this world,
it disappears
though,
from your own memory.
According to that version of existence, this life isn't existing. Existing happens outside of this. You're choosing this experience. You don't need to remember your past life in this life. You need to remember all of the past lives as a soul.
Thanks for listening to Stoner Talk.
Yeah.
We're at 4:20 a.m. on your radio dial.
4:20 every day.
We're going to be here
twice a day.
Yeah, I don't know. You think there's a soul, though.
Yeah, I do.
But you're contradicting yourself. Because no, you don't think there's an afterlife, but you think there's a soul.
Yeah.
Just.
I mean,
wrap it up.
I'm also completely saying I have no fucking idea.
I believe
that I have a soul.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I don't think I'm going anywhere after death. But if my, I don't know. I guess there's a place where my soul can go on. But I don't like my life ended. Like I'm done. Like that. Wherever that soul goes, it's.
I think it's more of like an energy.
It's taking whatever energy I've put into it.
You think
it
it's an unconscious energy type of thing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Like my life ends with my death. There's nothing after me.
You are not aware of energy spent.
All right. Well, that's, I mean, definitely the most depressing way to look at it.
But I also think it's not. I feel like I'm one of the few people that tries to, like, every day I wake up and I'm like, oh my God, I'm not dead. That's a fucking miracle.
Yourself.
And
we're heading back towards
Sirius. We're
moving
out
of the dark age.
What's going to happen in the next 2,400 years?
Start meditating. Stop drinking water polluted and drinks polluted with.
Oh come on! Now you're putting your agenda into this.
No, it's all the same shit.
No, man, everything's going to be great. We're headed back to Sirius.
But
going home.
The elite power.
Let's just go
trying
home.
To block you.
Nah, fuck
from
those motherfuckers. It's
from
not gonna
awakening
matter anymore
by adding fluoride to your shit.
No, we're gonna take over. No more melting ice caps. It's all coming up.
Thanks for listening. You gotta plug anything?
No, but thank you for having me.
Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for being here. You can tweet at us at Robotic Willy, or I don't know if Wade wants his tweet on here.
You can tweet at me, I guess. Wade Randolph. It's with a PH, and I don't really care about your alien shit. So, you know, so take that for what it's worth. All right, that's it.
Thanks
for listening.
Bye.
Feral Audio.
Let's say Seinfeld was on an island, yeah, and he was blowing Boris Karloff. What would that be like?
And it might go something like this. Oh, Mr. Karloff, I loved you in Frankenstein, and I love giving you a blowjob. Why, Mr. Seinfeld, I love having you